Well, maybe we got some folks listening this morning that are thinking about doing some traveling this summer. But you say, well, you're on a budget. You got to be conscious of how much money you're spending. We'll have some suggestions this morning for you on travel in the Midwest. So certainly we know that there are more and more people that are looking for vacation spots that are closer to home. So perhaps our guest this morning can make some suggestions on places you can go just for the weekend. Maybe some nice small towns to visit, best places to go if what you're looking for is good food. Any and all of that is certainly welcome. And if people are listening this morning, by the way, and like to make suggestions, that would be great too. We have two guests with us this morning, Trevor Mears, he's the executive editor, and Barbara Morrow, the senior travel editor for Midwest Living Magazine. They are online. If you'd like to check them out and find out more about the magazine, it's midwestliving.com. And of course, you know, you can go down to the bookstore or wherever it is you buy magazines, and you can pick up a copy of the magazine and take a look at it. And we'll be very happy to talk with them over the next hour. So again, the number, if you'd like to call in, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us. And that is 800-222-9455. And again, particularly, I want to suggest that if there are people who are listening that you'd like to talk about some place in the Midwest that you've been and recommend that as a travel destination, that's great. You can certainly do that. Well, we want to say hello to Trevor Mears. Hello.
Good morning.
And Barbara Morrow.
Yes, hello.
Well, thanks very much to both of you for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
And I think it's really, I'm really glad that we can have this conversation because, as I said, I'm sure that there are folks who are thinking, you know, they got some time off. They want to do some traveling. They want to get out of the house and they want to get out of their community. But, you know, money is an issue. So for that reason, I'm sure that there are more and more people are saying, well, where can we go that's close? Where could we go that would be within maybe a few hours or say, you know, a day's travel of where we are? And so I think that's good we're having this conversation.
Well, and that's always our focus. I mean, we know that people love to go places close to home, and also that they're value conscious, budget and value conscious. And I think that's just part of being a Midwesterner. We always have our eye on, you know, is this something that's going to really make sense for our readers? And there are lots of things, you know, within range of where you are. We said maybe we would talk about, you know, the June issue a little bit, mm-hmm. and we had some fun there with a story that we called Trips You'll Talk About. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that, you know, it's not just while you're on the trip, it's the great memories that you're making on the trip and coming home and telling the stories from your trip. So we found some things, very close to where your listeners are that that will fit the, you know, probably the budget and the close to home idea. You know, we had a sailing trip from Milwaukee. Trevor went on a wagon train trip in Nebraska, right, Trevor?
Yeah, I did. There's actually a wagon trek organization out in Nebraska that puts you in a covered wagon. You go out and spend the night on the prairie, and an old cowboy wagon driver prepares dinner for you. Do it right there under Chimney Rock, which was one of the most famous landmarks for Oregon Trail pioneers. And really, one of the fun things about the Midwest, especially right where your listeners are located there in Illinois, there's so much diversity within a reasonable drive from there. You can go north and get all the great experiences of the Great Lakes. You can head south and you get down there into the rolling hills, especially down like in southern Illinois where there's so many some peach orchards and wineries, things like that. You can head west without going too far and you get into kind of the Great Plains sorts of scenery. And it's just neat that we have access to all those things. And I think a lot of times as Midwesterners, we sort of take for granted the great diversity that is within our region, and really not that far away, as long as we're willing to kind of expand our thinking about, well, what kind of different sorts of trips are out there. And that's the kind of thing that's in this article that Barbara's referring to in terms of, like, going on a tall ship adventure on the Great Lakes where you actually get to be part of the crew, you work in the rigging, things like that, as well as some sort of what you might call a light working vacations you can go to. There's a bakery up in Ann Arbor, Michigan called Zingerman's where they'll teach you how to bake bread for a couple of days. You can take some architectural classes at Frank Lloyd Wright's studio right there in the Chicago area. and just really get a lot of hands-on experience doing different kinds of things that you take away an experience, not just sitting on the beach, which is always attractive to us, but also a story to come home with and something expanding kind of your horizons, what you're learning on your trip.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And it seems to me that often people, and maybe there are people who have come from other parts of the countries, come to the Midwest, do a lot of complaining about the fact that it's flat.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are no mountains.
We don't agree with that.
Well, I
stop you right there.
See, that's the thing. I think that for example, as you say that if you here in this part of the state, yeah, it's kind of flat. But if you go down into southern Illinois, it's very different, and you don't have to go very far away before you get into a different kind of terrain. And then also, as you mentioned, we got some pretty serious lakes here in the Midwest. And if you're interested in having I like the Atlantic coast. Well, there are places around the Great Lakes that really aren't all that much different. It's much the same kind of experience that some people go a long way for to one of the coasts, and you don't have to go that far.
Well, one of the stories that, and Trevor can talk about this a little bit because he sort of led this project, but our 100 best small towns to visit, and one of those comes to mind when you say the Atlantic coast, because we like to call Door County, Wisconsin, the Cape Cod of the Midwest. I mean, it's, you really can't get much closer to that seaside experience without traveling all the way east. And that story is one that's in our new Best of the Midwest magazine. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that.
I have it right in front of me.
Okay, well, it is sort of our travel Bible for the year. We publish this magazine annually and have just expanded it quite a bit just because we know that people are so interested in these close-to-home travel ideas, and we also are in the process of relaunching and expanding all of this content on our website. So to make a long story short, one of the things in this Best of the Midwest magazine is the 100 best small towns to visit, and this was a huge project that Trevor kind of headed up, and maybe you'd tell us a little bit about that, Trevor.
Sure, and that's a great story for people to head to if you're looking for getaways, because we get the question all the time. We've been publishing our magazine for about 21, 22 years now, and everyone always wants to know, well, where should I go, just like we're talking about. So we thought, well, let's just actually do a story where we look into the 100 best towns, and we set out to, first of all, we define what do we think makes a great small town getaway. And so we kind of identified things like, well, it has to have great dining, and that means locally owned places, unique kinds of flavors, and locally owned lodging that give you a neat experience. And then we got into the types of festivals that they have, how close are they to a larger city that makes it easy to get there, and then we gave them some bonus points for just kind of the mood that they have, if they've got a real buzz about them, especially like little college towns, for example, in the fall, have a great atmosphere. And we went through and we ranked, there was a total of about 8,500 what we considered small towns in the region, and we ranked several hundred of them. We came up with this list of the top 100, and really, as you look through that list, it's a great example of what we've been talking about, that if you want a sort of a East Coast fishing village sort of ambiance, you can go up to Door County, Wisconsin. It's a great place to get that, and the number one place to go on our list was Ephraim and Fish Creek, which are two little towns that are very near one another up there in Door County. And then you go through the list, and like number three on the list is Galena, Illinois, which is a Mississippi River town. So a different kind of experience there, very, kind of Mark Twain ambiance when you go there. And then all the way through, we've got, prairie towns, and we've got Amish towns. We've got very rich historical areas that are just loaded with historical buildings, like Marshall, Michigan. I think they have over 850 buildings on the National Historic Register. And it was just really exciting for us to go through and a lot of people who've been working on the magazine for years would kind of forget some of the great places that we know of in this region. Once you sit down to make a list like this, it just reminds you of how many neat places there are. And, of course, we have the privilege of getting to go out and scout some of them again. So we got some great weekends out of the deal, too.
Yeah. I think one of my producers grew up in Petoskey, so she would be pleased to see that Petoskey is one of the towns on your best 100 small towns.
Yeah, actually number two on the list.
Yeah, number two on the list. Yeah. You know, in the I was just thinking that in the first part of the program this morning, we were talking about cooking and something we'd like to do every once in a while on the show. And one of the things that you suggest we might talk about is great food towns for people who are, you know, one of the things when they get away, maybe they would like to go to some really good restaurants. I'm sure that Chicago is a great food town. There are plenty of restaurants in Chicago, and I know there are good places to eat in St. Louis. I'm sure there are good places to eat in Indianapolis and some of the other, you know, the major metro areas. Are there other places that sort of stand out in your mind as good places for food?
Well, and actually, we know that, too, and everybody does, that you're going to go to Chicago and Indianapolis and St. Louis and find lots of great restaurants. But so what we wanted to do in this project that we're kind of right in the middle of, so I can't tell you what the best food towns are yet, but we have some suspicions at this point. But we're looking at metro areas of a million or less, so that, you know, there's a little bit of competition there, and we're comparing apples to apples, and we're looking at things like a great overall food scene, which now that's, you know, more easy to find outside of the bigger cities, and, you know, I think it's time that, you know, we sort of recognize that and gave people some specific ideas, you know, where to go to experience it. But, you know, it's a great, maybe a place has a great farmer's market, they have chefs at work, they have access to other fresh ingredients like locally raised beef or fish, and they have a great restaurant scene that might include maybe, you know, some outdoor dining venues. So that's what we're looking for all over the Midwest. And then also, we're going to be looking at places where it might be more of a, you know, just one or two places in a smaller town, like a great steak place or, you know, where to get the best runza in Nebraska. Trevor is a Nebraska guy, and, you know, he might have to eat some runzas this summer to, you know, really help us, you know, make that judgment.
Well, but now, see, I got to ask you, what is that?
What is a runza, Trevor? Are you going to tell us?
Well, it's the exotic food of Nebraska. have you ever heard of a pasty that they eat in Michigan?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Somewhat similar to that. You know, a pasty, I think, is actually Cornish in origin, and it's kind of like meat and potatoes inside of a pastry, almost sort of like a meat and potatoes calzone, you might say. And in Nebraska, they have something called a runza, which is sort of an Eastern European version of that that has ground meat and cabbage and onions and things like that all in a bread shell kind of thing. And runzas are definitely a love-hate thing. People love them or hate them. Those who love them, like me, because I'm from Nebraska, you know, we will order them in by the cooler loads. So we'll have them in our freezer if we move away from Nebraska. So things like that are also what we're always looking for, is kind of the local signature items. And, you know, there's plenty of great places not far from your listening area, obviously, with you know, we're working on the rankings right now, so we don't know who's going to wind up, you know, in those rankings at the top when we're done. But we can say, you know, it's places like Madison, Wisconsin that are really kind of setting a tone in terms of local dining. You know, they have a huge farmer's market right there on the Capitol Square every weekend, and a lot of name brand chefs in the area will go there and buy their fresh ingredients. And that night at the restaurant, you're eating what they purchased that was locally grown at the farmer's market there. And some great places, like we're talking about the Great Lakes, for fish. You know, if you drive up the North Shore of Minnesota, there's little fish stands all along there where you can get smoked fish and various varieties. Towns like Leland, Michigan, up by the Traverse City area, all kinds of family fishing operations up there that bring in the fresh fish. And then, of course, Door County, Wisconsin, known for its fish boils, which is a big production each evening at a lot of the resorts up there. And then even if you go over to, like, southwest Michigan, again, not too far from your area, known as the Fruit Belt because of the climate. So they have a lot of orchards and fruit stands everywhere you go throughout the summer to buy fresh fruit. So a lot of fun just to get out there. And I think everyone, you know, it's really a trend now that people are more interested in eating locally when they go on vacation to get that experience. It's kind of like wine lovers have always known that the region's taste is reflected in the wine in terms of the grapes and the soil, and now people are realizing that in terms of the produce they get, the fruit, the cheese, if you're up in a place like Wisconsin, where really that it's very tied to the place, and it's a really an integral part of your travels is to get a taste of that place that you're in.
Yeah. Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580, Trevor Mears. He's the executive editor for Midwest Living Magazine, and also joining us is Barbara Morrow. She's the senior travel editor, and we're talking about travel in the Midwest. And if you have some suggestions, we'd be very happy to have a call. Yeah, some place that you've been in the Midwest you thought was particularly great and you'd like to tell other folks about it, or any other questions about Midwest travel, you can give us a call in this part of Focus 580. We set here today, set aside a day when we want to talk about summer and the pleasures of summer, and also to encourage people to support the station. And we'd like to, if we can, do something that will help you make the most out of whatever vacation time you get for this summer. And this may indeed be the year that we all start thinking about how can we enjoy some of the festivals and events and places and tastes around Illinois, staying closer to home. And that's really the theme of this particular program, and also of Midwest Living and some of their writing, and including their Best of the Midwest magazine. So we're trying to give you a little tools, give you something to think about as you're planning your summer travel. But before you go out, before you leave home, there's something really important that we want you to do, and that is support your local radio station. That's this one, AM 580. We're coming to the end of our fiscal year, and we need to have the money in the bank that's going to pay for next year's programs, and we're a little short of where we would like to be. So we'd like to make up that difference, and of course the only way we can do that is if you'll give us a call and make a pledge. So why don't you take the opportunity now to do that. The number to call is 866-779-9455. You can also pledge online at Will Pledge. That's just like it sounds. WILLPLEDGE, willpledge.org. Either way, your contribution is really important. Here in studio with me this morning is Maeve Riley. She's the editor of Patterns Magazine. That's our program guide.
And we'd like to thank all the people who listen all the time, and those who have already supported WILL Radio this year. And as David mentioned, we're getting close to our June 30th end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th. And we're counting on your support again to help us close a $480,000 gap. And that seems like a lot of money, but the only way we can get close to reaching that goal is for each one of you to go to the phone or go to your computer and make a contribution to help us, close that gap and provide programming here at WILL. Your first ever contribution or membership renewal will help us ensure another great year of programs here on AM 580. And we're counting on you, so give us a call at 866-779-9455 or go online and give it willpledge.org.
Sometimes we encourage people to think about it. Think about what are your other daily kind of expenses. Maybe you subscribe to the newspaper, or maybe you stop at the newsstand and every day you buy a paper.
A cup of coffee.
I have to have it on my way into work every day. I stop in my favorite coffee shop and I plunk down a couple of bucks for a coffee. Well, this should be a recurring expense here for you here at WIL. I mean, think about it. What would happen if you had to plunk a couple of quarters into the radio every time you wanted to listen? Well, we can't do that. But if you do listen every day, and you would think, maybe that's worth a dollar a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you make a $52 contribution. Maybe you would think that would be even worth a dollar a day.
Right.
$365. Or you pick a number in between there. That's not all that important. The dollar amount is not as important as you're doing it and us counting you as a supporter of the station. And that's what we're asking folks to do right now. A lot of folks have done that just forever, year mm-hmm. after year. And we want to say to them, thanks. And if you're not among them, well, why don't you join? Now would be a great time.
Right. And if you do decide $125 is within your budget, and that would be good to help us get our goal, we'll send you an eco-tote here, which is a really nice, durable green bag that you can use if you're going shopping or to the farmer's market. And it's a really great way to support WILL. It's just our way of saying thank you for helping us reach our goal and, for supporting public broadcasting.
All right. Once again, here are the numbers, 866 779-9455, or you can give online at willpledge.org.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
A little traveling music there to get you in the right kind of mood here this morning in this part of Focus 580. We're talking about Midwest travel. A lot of folks, more and more people, are thinking about, yeah, they want to do some traveling and get away from home this summer, but they want to stay closer to home, and they're on a budget. Well, we're encouraging you to think about traveling in the Midwest around Illinois. Could just be within the state of Illinois. Maybe you want to go over into Indiana. You want to go over to Missouri. You want to go up Wisconsin, Michigan. There are a lot of great places to go and great things to see around the Midwest. And we're talking here about some of them this morning with the two guests, and they both work at Midwest Living Magazine. Trevor Mears, he's the executive editor, and Barbara Morrow, she's the senior travel editor. You can find it on the newsstand, Midwest Living. You can go to their website and see what's there. That's midwestliving.com. You could pick up a copy of the magazine. You also could look at their special issue that's called The Best of the Midwest, including the ultimate guide to Midwest travel with 1,400 recommendations on places to go, to stay, where to eat, and so forth. And we have a couple of callers here. Maybe we have folks who would like to make a suggestion for Midwest travel. That's great. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with someone in Effingham. Line number four right here on the toll free line. Hello.
Yes. I just got tuned in a bit ago. I'm pretty busy, but traveling in the Midwest, my wife and I have visited this place at least three times. It's in Indiana. I'm sorry. But
no, that's
Indiana. Again, it's only from here at the border cities in Illinois. I think it's about 2 hours to West Baden, Indiana. I don't know if you've ever heard of that place. But they have a castle there. It before was a warm springs and a health spa back in the 20s. And railway, you know, that people, Chicago, everyone came there. And it's been restored. The castle is two towers and then the huge dome inside the thing. All that has been redone. A casino company took it over, redid the hotel, which is a little south of the castle. And they now have a casino there. Well, we didn't go for the casino, but it was the ambience. And since it's been restored, the history of that place is just magnanimous. The health spa, they had all sorts of things there. The dome, when it was built, I think the only thing that superseded it was in Texas, the Cowboys play. And this was the other opposite of that, and the dome in Texas is the only one larger in the country, and that's probably not true now. But the man that designed it, they told him it was going to fall down. When they took the supports out, he climbed up in the top of it where it joined and stood there. He said, okay, take it down. If it goes down, I go with it. Well, of course, it's still standing there for these 70-some years. But I would highly recommend that to anyone who wants to go nearby. Rates are not too bad. You don't have to do all the gambling, none of that stuff. But nevertheless, it is just a awesome. You think you're in Europe somewhere.
You know, actually, that is in the upcoming issue of our magazine, in the story that we're calling 45 Places Your Friends Don't Know About. Just kind of a fun little take on the idea that a lot of times you get travel ideas from your friends, but we are traveling all the time, and you know, we know about things that, you know, maybe they don't know about. But obviously, we're not ahead of you because you've already been there. Most people might know it better as French Lick, Indiana.
Yes, that's where the hotel is.
Right, and then next door is West Baden, which is this fabulous. At one point, it was called the Eighth Wonder of the World.
Yeah, and it deserved every a thing that was said about it. It was just magnificent. The Catholic priests, I think they had it for a very long time after the spa went away. And then they moved out and it sat there and was vandalized, and a couple, I think, from southern Indiana somewhere came forward with the money to rebuild all the stained glass that's in the at West Baden structure, and then they got it going again, and then the hotel was rebuilt. The hotel, which is a kind of a deco style, but the interior is just out of this world too. And we had to stay in the hotel this last time we went because the flooding down there. We mm-hmm. could see the castle, but there was this water, I suppose, 4 feet deep, and you couldn't get there. And so
Oh my! Well, it is gorgeous. So they've turned it into a full service resort with spas at both of the hotels, at French Lick and at West Baden. And I had been there before it was renovated, so it was especially surprising to come back. And it was one of those, they have before pictures all along the walls, and it was just amazing that they were able to bring that structure back because it was in really rough shape. I mean, the whole interior of that dome was rubble at one point.
Yes, it was.
And it's gorgeous. I mean, you'd never know that was
that anything
but.
Ever happened to it the way it looks now.
Right.
My first experience, and I'm from Indiana, originally over at Terre Haute, and I was with a telephone cable crew, and I traveled through there when I was a 19-year-old kid, and I looked back, and I was awestruck even then. I couldn't see very much and never went back there, but my first trip through there, and that would have been 1954, I think.
Yeah. So, well, you mentioned the history.
And my wife and I began to travel, and then we found it again, both before it was renovated. Now the grounds, I'm sure you noticed that, how magnificent all those grounds mm-hmm. are, well kept, and it just out of the, I would recommend it over and over.
Great. Well, I think, in fact, I'm here on the computer in front of me. I'm looking at some pictures of the place, and it indeed truly is spectacular. I'm sure that actually being there and seeing the place in person is would just knock your socks right off.
It is. It's spectacular. And the history, you mentioned the history, the caller mentioned the history, and at one point, I guess this area of southern Indiana had, almost 50 hotels and that were built around these mineral springs that are in that area, and people like Al Capone and Franklin Roosevelt traveled there to take the waters, as they used to say. And it's this, and you can still see the original spring is behind the hotel. So it is a pretty interesting place, and it just felt like a real discovery.
Well, I want to thank the caller very much, and I have some others. Well, let's go on to Belgium, Illinois, not that far from where we are. This is line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning to you all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to be succinct about several different places. You've already mentioned the western shore of Michigan, which is a fabulous place to go from Traverse City all the way down to St. Joe. A lot of nice lighthouses, many of which you can get very close to and go in if you wish. The one at Ludington is very nice, Grand Sable. That's probably a two-tank gas to go up and back all the way through there. Another area I was going to suggest is also southern Indiana, the same places you just mentioned. In northeast Indiana, there's an area called, Audubon. There's a car museum there that's just fabulous. Bunch of Duesenbergs and stuff like that. Very interesting place to go. On the west coast, on the west side of Illinois, nobody ever takes this very much, is the Great Mississippi Road. Mm-hmm. It is a fabulous drive. Goes all the way from Wisconsin to southern Illinois. Lots of beautiful overlooks. Lots of very interesting places to go and see. And then, of course, there's always western Indiana with Park County and places like that. So we are in the middle of some very interesting places to go.
Well, we would agree.
Yeah, I would actually say, too, we just did a big story last fall that Barbara worked on about the Great River Road in autumn along the Mississippi River there. And if you get on our website, you can find a story that kind of lines out for you where to go. So if anyone's interested in that drive, and for a lot of these places we mentioned, we've got archive stories on the site. But, those are all great places you mentioned. You know, some other neat stuff in southern Indiana. You get down there south of Indianapolis, you get into Brown County, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's a fantastic arts community. in there. And if you go even a little further south, you get into a town called Seymour, Indiana, which is where John Mellencamp's from. Yes. He's got kind of a folk art center there that you can go see. And there's a lot of that area's got some neat wilderness kind of areas, too. If you're into getting into forests and hiking trails, I think that's another thing a lot of people don't realize. If you're into any kind of natural areas, some fantastic ones throughout the Midwest, and southern Illinois is another one like that. You get down there into a Garden of the Gods, for example, and just some fantastic scenery not far away.
You should also very seriously consider Columbus, Indiana. Fabulous town for architecture and arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting area.
And that's just east of Brown County.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Right. Right. And that's, what is it, like 30 buildings designed by top architects in this small, really a fairly small city.
The business of Cummings Diesel, the people
right.
who started that were very instrumental in bringing architects and stuff like that to do that in that community.
Mm-hmm. Right. One other stretch in Indiana that's neat to check out is the National Road, which was really kind of what Route 66 was later, back this started in the colonial period, and then it was kind of the definitive road there in the United States up until the early 1900s. And the old National Road runs on Highway 40 east of Indianapolis, and there's a great town called Richmond that you can go to there, and lots of antiquing shops, a lot of architecture dating back to like the early 1800s. And it's a really neat place to go and make a drive there, too.
So there, for all of us listening, there is no shortage of things very interesting to do right here in beautiful Midwest. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call. Let's go on here. We'll talk next with someone who is in Savoy, and this is on our line number 2. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Previous caller kind of stole my thunder, but that's okay. I just wanted to say, with regards to French Lick, we went off 5-6 years ago with the kids, and it's very historic, but I was somewhat disappointed because it had gotten, at that point, had gotten very tired. So I'm glad to hear about its renovation, and hopefully we can still go back with the kids. I don't know with the casino if you think there would be a limitation there, but my question is about... No? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I don't think I would worry about taking a family there. The casino is positioned sort of off to one side of the hotel, and you could sort of go there or not. I mean, it's just
good.
A really nice, it's got a couple of nice swimming pools, too. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's fine. I just wanted to recommend, and then I had a quick question. A few years ago, we went up to Mackinac, and we stayed in a bed and breakfast in Torch Lake, which, if I understand it correctly, is supposed to be one of the deepest lakes in the country. I think it's something like 400 feet deep, but you can walk out almost 3/4 of a mile, and it's just up to your ankles. Anyway, it's a beautiful area, Torch Lake, up in Michigan. But I was going to ask if you've ever heard of a place, I want to say it's called Christmas Town in southern Indiana, and they hyped that as kind of the best-kept secret in Indiana, and I was just wondering if you knew anything about that.
Well, it's probably Santa Claus in Indiana.
Santa Claus, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's an amusement park there, Holiday World, and it's more of a manageable size, you know, family-friendly amusement park. They just did something that I thought was really interesting for people with all the food allergies and dietary limitations. Like, you can get meals there for your kids. You know, if you have a weed allergy or some other problem like that, they have that there now. I think they really pride themselves on being a sort of a comfortable amusement park experience.
So it would be worth the trip. I'm guessing that's in southern Indiana.
It is in southern Indiana. And I think it definitely would be worth a trip. I mean, it's definitely a family sort of destination. I think you might want to have a couple of kids in tow if you make that your weekend trip or your annual vacation. There's a nice RV resort sort of place right next to it. It's that is sort of a camping resort. I don't think you need to have an RV to stay there.
Well, I think it's also close by. I want to say Shackamack State Park, I think, is in that neck of the woods, if I'm not mistaken.
There are some great state parks down in southern Indiana. I mean, that Indiana has wonderful parks. That's sort of a little secret and discovery, you know. I mean, the parks are great all over the Midwest, but Indiana has some particularly nice ones.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Well, we got some other folks here who we'd like to talk with, and we'll do that in a moment. We'll continue to talk with our guests, Barbara Morrow, the senior travel editor at Midwest Living Magazine, and also Trevor Mears. He's the executive editor, Midwest Living, and we're talking about travel in the Midwest. It's summertime. People are thinking about traveling, and maybe you're thinking, as a lot of people are, about staying a little closer to home. Well, there are a lot of really great places to go and things to do in the Midwest. And that was the idea of the show, to get you thinking about traveling in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, Wisconsin. And there is good information on traveling in the Midwest from Midwest Living. So maybe one of the things you might want to do is go to their website, which is MidwestLiving.com. You know, things seems to me we're in the summer now, and thinking back to when I was a kid, it seemed that in the summertime, the pace of life really slowed down. Well, it doesn't do that anymore. It does not do that anymore, at least from my experience, and I'm sure it's your experience too. The pace of life, it seems, never slows down. Certainly, there is always something going on somewhere, and somewhere in the world, and generally, you know, even in our neighborhood, there are a lot of things going on during the summertime. So you want to stay connected, and this radio station is one of the ways that you can do that, because it doesn't matter when it is. We're always trying to stay on top of what's going on in state government and around the world and in the weather and in the commodity markets and in all of these various facets. And so what you can do is, if you stay with us, keep your radio tuned to this station, we're going to try to keep you on top of all of that. And it doesn't matter that it's summer. Things are just going to keep on going no matter what. So we want to make sure that as you are trying to enjoy your summer and taking some time off, if you can, that you do stay in touch with what's going on. And this radio station is a great way to do that. But here's the bottom line. We need your help to be able to continue to bring you the programs that you value. Programs like this one, for example, Focus 580, and also the Afternoon Magazine, and our weather service, and our Egg News Service, and Morning Edition, and All Things Considered, and everything else. They're here because people like you help to pay for them. And this is one of those times that we're sitting down here in front of the microphone and saying, hey, now is the time. Give us a call, go online, and make a pledge. It's real easy, and it's really important to keep us strong here, and so that we can continue to bring you the shows that you want to hear.
That's right. So Will is your radio station, your companion on work days and on vacation days. And the beauty of public radio is that you get all the benefits from everybody's dollars that go into the programs and the station. But you get to choose how much of that you would like to contribute. So your gift, together with those of your friends and neighbors, adds up to what we need to keep WILL a great radio station. So now is the time to go and invest in your station at 866-779-9455.
All right. We have some more time here to talk about Midwest travel and also to talk with our guests, Trevor Mears and Barbara Morrow. Trevor Mears is the executive editor of Midwest Living Magazine. Barbara Morrow is the senior travel editor at the magazine. And they have a website, so if you want to find out more, you can go to MidwestLiving.com, or you can go wherever it is you buy magazines and you look for a copy of the magazine and get some good suggestions there for Midwest travel. We have maybe about 10 minutes left, actually probably a little bit less, and we have a number of callers who we want to talk with. So let's keep doing that. We're talking with folks who are listening, and talk next with someone in Champaign, and this is line number 3, right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear you're pointing out our local things of interest. And I don't know. I think Indiana should make a contribution just for all the coverage their places are getting on your station.
We'll call the Indiana Bureau of Tourism and tell them they should send us some money.
I think they should. But I won't mention all the places I had in mind because they have been mentioned, but I would encourage people to check out northeastern Indiana, and I really urge people to go to French Lick. It's really quite lovely. I was fortunate enough to know about their opening last winter for this latest reincarnation, and they have done a beautiful job, and you certainly can expect some fine dining, and I'm glad Columbus was mentioned. That's certainly worth a stop. And as far as the state parks, they're also wonderful. And if you were in the Bloomington area and looking for a place to stay, the lodge there is just so nice, and it's wooded, and it's, I think maybe because here in Champaign, when we go away for the weekend, most of us immediately jump in the car or and go to Chicago, and we forget that there are pastoral areas very close to us, and remind people that it's realistic to go to these places in Indiana just for the weekend. You're not spending so much of your time getting there. And I think any route you take, if you just Google a few towns, you will find, you know, that there are places of interest. And I think I was at Santa Claus, Indiana once, and I probably wouldn't go back, but it's, you know, it's an interesting place. And, you know, if that's your cup of tea, I think it's very, very pleasant. And I guess I just, you know, thank you for reminding us that we have some really great places that are, maybe we could say, a tank of gas away.
Yeah, sure. Well,
you know,
I appreciate
that. On the topic of state parks, there's one other one I want to point out that's not far at all from there in Urbana, and that's Turkey Run State Park in Indiana, which is just north of Terre Haute near a town called Marshall. And it's one of the better state parks in the region with great kind of sandstone gorges and ravines you can hike in and even streams you can play around in, things like that. So just one other state park might be worth checking out.
Well, right. And you've got some great state parks in Illinois. You know, Starved Rock can get pretty busy, but in this same story that French Lick is in, we point out that Matheson State Park is right next to Starved Rock, and it doesn't get as many visitors, but it has a lot of the same terrain and some really nice trails through the sandstone formations there. In southern Illinois, Trevor brought up Garden of the Gods. There are some really nice state park lodges in southern Illinois, too, like Giant City Lodge is one that's close to it. There's a hiking trail in that park through some very un-Illinois-like scenery. I mean, you just don't expect to find these enormous sandstone formations in the prairie state, but, you know, they're there. I mean, the terrain down there is just not what you'd expect.
That's great. I'm glad you mentioned that again, because it makes me think about my statement earlier that, you know, a lot of people come here, they just say, well, it's just too flat.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, wait a minute. And that's right. It is true that, well, yeah, some parts of it are flat, but all of Illinois is not like, well, the central part of here where we live, yeah, it's kind of flat. But if you go down into the southern part, certainly the terrain is very, very different. And then if you go up also into the northern part, there are places that the terrain is going to be really different, too.
Well, for anyone who thinks it's flat, have them go over to the Mississippi River area and rent a bike and go for a ride, and they'll change their story.
There's enough up and down there.
Yeah, it'll wear you out.
Wear you out. Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate the comments of the last caller, so let's talk again with someone in Champaign. This will be line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to echo everything everybody said. First of all, I lived in Bloomington, Indiana for years, and I've been to every place you've mentioned up till now, and they're all fabulous places. And I wanted to just point out a couple of other really neat things. One that you hit on, the lighthouses. I've done trips rimming both Lake Huron and Lake Michigan on the east and west coast of the state of Michigan. And then on the western shore of Lake Michigan on the eastern side of the state of Wisconsin. And then also Lake Superior up in northern Wisconsin. And there's just so many fabulous lighthouses and life-saving station museums and mining museums and places like that. And there's Mackinac Island, and all of those places are within 5 to 6 hour drive. And I just want to point out one other place that's also really fabulous. It's about a 5 to 6 hour drive from Champaign, is Lexington, Kentucky. And there's some beautiful state parks down in that area. There's Red River Gorge. Of course, there's the Kentucky Horse Park, and it has a lot of nice restaurants. And so there are a lot of beautiful places around here, and I just wanted to throw those out there, and I'll hang up now. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I don't know, anything that you want to pick up on?
Well, and she mentioned the lighthouses, and some people might be interested to know that there's a couple of those lighthouses that are bed and breakfasts. So you can actually have the experience of staying in a lighthouse. A couple of them are up on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, on a little spike of land that sticks out of the Upper Peninsula called the Keweenaw Peninsula. There's a couple of lighthouses. There's a lighthouse you can stay in there, and then there's another one at a place called Big Bay up on the Upper Peninsula. And there's also one over on the east side of Michigan, and the name of it is escaping me, but it's in Alpena, I think, the Middle Island Lighthouse. I think has a bed and breakfast too. So there's that experience. There's also volunteer lighthouse keeper programs. Ludington has one of those that we've featured in the magazine. I think somebody mentioned Ludington. There's a great lighthouse tower on Michigan's most western point, sticking into Lake Michigan, and people can volunteer to be a keeper at that lighthouse, and, of course, that's a very popular program.
I'd also recommend a caller had mentioned Mackinac Island up in between the Lower Peninsula and the main part of the Lower Peninsula and Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you go just a little bit north of the Straits of Mackinac there, you can get to a place called Whitefish Point, and there's something called the Whitefish Point Light Station, which is an old lighthouse. And they've renovated the life-saving crew's quarters, and you can actually sleep there. It's very nice accommodations now. You're staying in the place where the men who used to go out on the lifeboats would go. And it's just a beautiful, isolated spot. It's just north of a town called Paradise. And you're actually only about 15 miles away from where the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald lies out in Lake Superior. So a lot of ambiance at that place. And then the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum is there on the same property. And the people who run that dive on shipwrecks all the time, and you can really get some amazing stories of the lakes from those folks.
Okay, we're trying to get one more caller in here, and that'll be somebody in Champaign and on line two. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Mm-hmm. Loved the show, but I was in and out, and I did not hear where in southern Indiana was the place that had good food for kids. And it's also a...
it's the Holiday World Amusement Park at Santa Claus.
Holiday Amusement Park.
Holiday World.
Holiday World.
Another place that should donate some money to your station now.
And where is it exactly?
Well, it's in southern Indiana, south of Indianapolis, and I would have to, and I'm sure if you're on the web, I'm sure that will come right up if you.
Holiday World Amusement Park.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. We're kind of coming down to the point where we have to finish up. I'm sure we could talk lots more other things. And if people are interested in Midwestern travel suggestions, they can go out and look for the best of the Midwest that you put together. They can look at your regular magazine. They can go to your website. It's a really nice website, MidwestLiving.com. Get some suggestions. I'm hoping that we've gotten people really jazzed about the idea now of traveling in the Midwest. I am. much more than I would have been before. I guess I didn't really realize how many great places there would be that were just not all that far away from us here where we are in central Illinois.
Well, and we love to get emails from people with their suggestions and comments on, you know, things they see in the magazine or on the website. And, you know, we answer questions all the time. So, you know, we love to hear from people. So this is a lot of fun for us.
And we do build stories around your suggestions a lot of times. So if someone wants to go to our site and send us an email about a place they know of that we should be covering, we'd be glad to hear about it. And we also have a section on our site where you can share photos of your trips. And that's another thing we like to look at. And people can go in there and just upload some images from trips they've been on and tell other users about them. It's a great way to do what we're doing right here on the show and just share ideas.
All right. Well, if you are looking for some suggestions on travel in the Midwest, here's one place you can go. It's Midwest Living Magazine. You can go buy it wherever you buy magazines. You can go to their website, MidwestLiving.com. And then there's a particular sort of a special theme, a magazine that they have put together that's the best of the Midwest, which has a lot of suggestions on places to go around the Midwest. Our guest this morning, Trevor Mears, he's the executive editor of the magazine, Midwest Living, and Barbara Morrow, she's the senior travel editor. And Trevor, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Barbara, thank you.
Well, thank you. It is our pleasure to do this. We love it.